My name is Musa Chaban, the acting chairperson of the committee. Honorable Advocate Bongo is not yet well. He'll be probably joining us next week. I want to start with an apology, colleagues from the Home Affairs, that there's no... our team is still struggling with water and coffee and tea. I think you'll... I know there's one of your officials, I know he likes tea. I won't name, expose him now, but... So apologize, honorable members, so apologize for that small mishap. I think also there's one honorable member who likes tea. I will not expose him now. We are going to just lay three ground processes that we're going to run. There's a sitting at 2 o'clock. Last week we had three provinces to report and we took time. In fact, we didn't have lunch until quarter to two. We moved from here to the city. So we want to advise the team that are going to present and honorable members on how we must run this meeting. On your program, I think the team has made a slight, did not change, they did a copy and paste. If you have checked, it's still Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Free State, Gauteng, KZN. So we apologize on their behalf. It's Northwest, Free State, and KZN, if I mean it to affirm that presence. That is. We'll run on the presentation of all the provinces. Then after engaged members of the honorable members will engage on the report so that we have enough time, because most of the issues may be related in terms of the, or assumingly, that we'll pick it up. So that at least by the time allocated the meeting, we conclude. I will then request officials from Department of Home Affairs to run introduction, and then we'll request members of the honorable members and the officials for the department to run introductions. I'm not sure how it's going to run, but you'll assist. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Thomas Sigama. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for Civic Services in the Department of Home Affairs. I'm here with my colleagues. I'll have to ask them to introduce themselves, but close to me is my colleague from Immigration. As you know, Home Affairs has got two core branches, Civic Services and Immigration. So provinces report directly to Civic Services, hence I'm here with the managers and support managers from various provinces, which is Free State, KZN, and Northwest. So without any waste of time, Chair, I will have to ask the colleagues to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Richard Stoltz. I'm the Chief Director for Immigration Support. I'm essentially the Chief Director in the Office of DDG Mackay. He has asked me to represent Immigration in this meeting today in the representation of the committee. As Mr. Skama has already said, some of the aspects which are dealt with in the province are immigration related, so we'll be assisting in terms of support for this. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Mike Motiba. I'm the provincial coordinator based in KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
Morning, honorable chair and honorable members. My name is Ndabenhle Shabalala from the Northwest Province, acting provincial manager. Thank you.
Morning, honorable chair, honorable members. My name is Cyril Mwabe. I'm from the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the provincial manager.
Good morning, honorable chair and honorable members. My name is Bonakele Maikiso. I'm the provincial manager in the only state, the Free State.
Morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Buyiswa Sekgonyane. I'm the Director of Finance and Support in support of Mr. Mayikiso in the Free State.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Nomalungelo Shezi from KZN, Deputy Director, Human Resources.
Morning, honorable chair, honorable members. My name is Naveen Singh. I'm the Director of Finance and Support for KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, honorable chair and honorable members. I'm Stephen Tarley, Director of Finance and Support for the Northwest Province.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Frank Makua, the Parliamentary Office and the Minister's Office.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Karushiki Botlhale. I'm the Provincial Coordinator, Northwest.
Honourable Chair, Members. My name is Muzin Joko. I'm representing the Intergovernmental Relations, Home Affairs.
Thank you, honourable members. Can we introduce ourselves as I've indicated?
Thank you, honourable chairperson. My name is Matebi Asnat Mulekwa, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, chair. My name is Joe McClure. I'm a member of this committee. Don't ask me where the surname comes from. I only realize now I might be also related to Frank Makua. And at some days, well, there's so many people of KZN, I thought as much I am a Gulwa. So it is quite confusing. Chair, if you allow me with my introduction, I also want to apologize for Honorable Kanila that is not able to be here today, and one of us might also perhaps leave earlier, but I'll try to sit to the fullest because I'm having particular interest in a meeting of Scopus taking place today on VBS matters. Chair, not that I say that the delegation of the various provinces is less important. I think as a committee we have to pronounce ourselves of what is transpiring on the violence against foreigners, and I think also we have to consider to summon the minister or various ministers of the cluster. Listening to the introduction, I think it is the right delegation as well, and maybe perhaps themselves must also speak to those matters, because at the end of the day as a committee we really have to come up with some stuff to quell what is happening in this country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Compatriots, my name is Adrian Ruiz. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, Edima Tonsi. I'm the committee secretary.
Adam Salmon, content advisor to the committee.
Morning, members. I'm Bulelo Landingwe. I'm supporting the chairperson.
Good morning, members. I'm Dr. Karisti Kavuro. I'm a monitor from PMG.
Morning, I'm a journalist at City Press Newspaper.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much, members. We'll run to check if there's no apologies have noted, Honorable McLuf. If the apologies from the officials, will request. Thanks.
I have received an apology from Ms. Tito, and then also there's an apology from the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. Those are the only two apologies I have received.
Honorable Moleko.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'd like to apologize because I'm going to leave the meeting at around 11 o'clock because I'm leaving another Buffalo Committee on Police. We have to deal with food safety.
Honorable Matu?
Chair, given the apologies and also the attendance, I just want us to assure the South that we are a quorum.
Matthews?
In terms of the rules, we can only start the meeting when we are four. And then the quorum is six, then the quorum is only when you have to make a decision. So if there's no decision that's going to be made, even if we are four, we can still continue to have a meeting.
Yeah, having said that, Chair, with due respect, there is a trend of this committee of people come and go from the ruling party, and we want to work together. I don't want the three of us to leave. There will be no quorum if we leave. But we want to work together with this committee, and I think, let's forget about political parties we present. I think also from the time that you have taken over, I think it's high time for you to address with every single political party's leader or whip the issue of attendance as far as this committee is concerned. Thank you.
Thanks, members. We're not taking the apologies of members who are here, who will be leaving. Within that context, we will proceed with them and will request officials to get other members who are outside, who are not here, of the particular committee in the main. I'll request the Northwest, if they are ready, to start with the briefing. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Let me introduce myself again. I'm Ndabenhle Shabalala, the Acting Provincial Manager for the Northwest Province. With me is Mr. Taile, the Director of Finance, and Mr. Kibotlhale, the Coordinator for the Northwest Province. I started to be the Acting Provincial Manager in the Northwest beginning of July 2019, but I've been in the Northwest Province since 2014, February to date. Honorable Chair, allow me to give the state of the province presentation in the Northwest. If you look at my presentation, my table of content, Honorable Chair, will cover issues like background, the provincial management and the demarcation, a summary of the current footprint in the Northwest, bed registration, and projected annual target for 2013-2014 to 2018-2019, bed registration within 30 days for 2018-2019 financial year, bed registration within 30 days for 2019-2020 financial year, but only the first quarter in that financial year. Comparative analysis of bed registration for quarter 1, 2018 and 2019-2020 financial year. ID Smart Card performance for 2018-2019 and ID Smart Card for 2019-2020 only the first quarter. The mobile solution and the immigration-related target and performance. Under finance, we'll cover the finance and support. We'll cover the issue of staff profile, provincial capacity and recruitment selection, labor relations cases, budget, revenue, fleet management, asset management, stakeholder management, and the last two will be the achievements and challenges. Honorable Chair and members, in my introduction and background, I'll start by saying Northwest is a province which has a population of about 4 million, which constitute the 6.9 of the country population. Apart from that, Northwest has an estimated net migrant of about 131,081, which are coming in and out of the country. There are four districts and eight 18 local municipality, which is Ngakamodir Molema district, Bujanala district, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda district, and Dr. Rutsi Khumuzi district. The economic drivers in that province is mining and agriculture. Honorable Chair, allow me to present the staff profile in the Northwest Province. From the provincial office, we've got a provincial manager's office. That position is vacant, but it has been recently advertised. We've got Director Finance and Support, which is Mr. Taile. Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, we've got an acting DMO, which is Ms. Donso, who's also acting in Dr. Rutsi Khumuzi Mumpati. Under Bujanala, we've got Mr. Rambuda, who's the district manager. Ngakamodir Molema, we've got an acting district manager, which is Mr. Smith. Under KK, we've got four offices, one large, two medium, and one small. I'll present them at a later stage. Under Bujanala, we've got five offices, one large, three medium, one small, and one Tusong Center. Under Ngakamodir Molema, we've got seven offices, one large, five medium, and two small. And the last one, which is Dr. RSM, we've got three offices. We don't have large office there. We've got three medium and one Tusong Center. Honorable Chair, allow me now to give the names of offices in each municipality and how we are represented in those municipalities as Home Affairs. When you look at Ngakamodir Molema, we've got five municipalities. We've got Mahike, Ramutsele, Disobolta, Tswaying, and Ratu. Under Mahikeng, our footprint as Home Affairs in Mafikeng, Provincial Office, Molopo Medium Office, and Mabato Large Office. Ramutsele Milwa, we've got Zerast Office, which is a medium office. The Tobolta is Lichtenberg and Isuseng medium offices. Swaying, we've got Atamelang, and then Rato, we've got Madiboho small office, and Tsilla Mulumu, a small office. When you look at that district is rural in nature. As I've mentioned earlier on, that it's made up of the five municipalities. Honorable Chair, allow me to proceed to the next district, which is Dr. Rutsi Khumuzi Mumpati, which is made up of five municipalities as well, which is Naledi, Kagisano, Molopo, Taung, Lekwatemane, and Mamusa local municipalities. Under that district, you can see that we've got only one medium office in Vryburg, which is under Naledi. Kagisano, Molopo municipality, we've got Khanyisa medium office, and Morokweng, which is Tusong Health and Community Center. Under Taung, we've got Taung medium office. Lekwatemane, we do not have a footprint. Mamusa, we do not have a footprint. Let me explain in that one. Under Lekwatemane, we've done our need analysis, and such analysis were submitted to our head office relevant unit. Together with Public Works, we are waiting for the next process because we identify the site and the property which can be used as an office there. But we take birth registration applications on a day-to-day basis and process them in the nearest what we call local office, which is Vryburg, and some are processed on the spot in those health facilities. So that is the position there in Lekwatemane. Mamusa, we don't have any office identified there, but we normally collect applications because we are connected in that health facility in Mamusa, which is a Swaziland town. Honorable Chair, allow me to proceed and present the third district, which is Bujanala, which is having a five municipality, which is Rustenburg, Moses Kotane, Madibeng, Moritele, and Gatling River municipalities. Under Rustenburg, we've got a Rustenburg large office. Under Moses Kotane, we've got Mankwe and Madikwe, medium offices. Madibe, we've got Brett's medium office. Moretele, we've got Kabetsi, Tusong Health Center. And then Gauteng, we've got Swartregen's small office. When you look at that district, it's been sometimes not having a footprint in terms of smart ID card system in Swartregen. We recently connected the Swartregen's office and it's now smart carded. So communities are now able to go and apply for a smart ID card since the beginning of this financial year, which is 2019-2020. Honorable Chair, allow me to proceed and present the last district when it comes to the footprint of Home Affairs, which is Dr. Kenneth Kaunda District, which is having three municipalities, which is Matosana, JB Max, Makwasi Hills. Under Matosana, we've got Lexo Block, a large office. JB Max, we've got Pochestum, a medium office, and Fenderstop, small office. Makwasi Hill, we've got Volmaranstadt, a medium office. This district seems to be covered by Home Affairs in all the local municipalities than any other district, more especially when it comes to Dr. Rotsefumo Zimon Party district. So, Chairperson, allow me to proceed and present now online health facilities where we normally take bed in those health facilities on the spot and process them on the spot. So, under Kenneth Kaunda, we've got 11 health facilities which are connected. It's Klerksdorp, Enkron, Velmet Park, Jobbertin, Botshabelo, Fenderstop, Potchefstroom Hospital, Potchefstroom Mediclinic, Low Dorenstadt Community Health Center, Nick Bodenstein, and Grace Mohomo. Under Dr. Ruth Sokomutu Mumpatu, we've got health aid connected health facilities where we can process on the spot, which is Joe Morolong, Uhudi, Stella, Swiss Reneke, Hanyisa, Taung, and Christiana Community Health Facility. Honorable Chair and members, allow me to present the next district, which is Bojanala. Under Bojanala, we've got 7 health facilities, which is Job Shimangana, Provincial Hospital, Moses Kotane, Swartregen, Pella, Brets, Bapung, and Litabile. Under Ngakamodiri Molema, we've got 11. Which are connected, which is Mahikeng, Victoria, Munsiwa Town, Unit 9 Community Health Clinic, Ramatabama, General Delare, Gelukspan, Itsoseng, Atamelang, Ratlo, and Luhurusi. The province managed to register 553,841 during the 2018-2019 financial year, against the target of 53,260, which is an overachievement. We overachieved by 1% for that financial year. Chair, allow me now to present the health facility where we collect beds, but these health facilities are not connected. We normally go there, we collect manually, we take those applications to our front office for processing. After processing, and then those birth certificates are taken back to those mothers, so that they go back home with a birth certificate printed. So under Bujanalo, we've got 17, which are not connected, as mentioned there, which is Brett's Mediclinic, Lafayette, Fencrest, Medicare, Kabane, Pokeng, Mokwase, Tokwing, Sisobe, Muladidi, Matau, Okasi, Matibistad, Sutlong, Swatdam, Dikebu, and Saviskel. So these are the health facilities under Bujanala which are not connected, but we are in the process, if we can get money, to connect them so that they also get a privilege of receiving their certificate on the spot. Under Ngakamodiri Molema, only 10 health facilities where there is a visibility when it comes to Home Affairs services, but those birth certificates are not processed on the spot. As I said at the beginning, that we've got officials who are roaming. They're not permanent officials there. They are roaming, they collect, and then process in the office and give back those birth certificates. Andangaka is the discerning. Mahobistat, Monsiwa, Otto Stals, Sadeshof, Delareville, Dinokana, Luhuruzi, Modibe, and Kualini. Under Rutsi Homozi Mumpat is Freiberg Private Hospital, Mamusa, Murukwing, Tahaming, and Khanyisa.
Sorry, ma'am, please. Let me just assist that you don't need to read the name so that we will manage your time. Can say Naga Mudira Mulima 10, then thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, for your direction. So under Kenneth Kaunda is 6, not connected. Honorable Chair and members, let me proceed and present now the provincial performance for 2018-2019. When you look at quarter one, out of the 8 targets, we achieved 7, not achieved 1. Quarter two, we achieved all targets, 8 out of 8. Quarter 3, we achieve only 6, not achieve 2. Quarter 4, we achieve 7 out of 8, 1 not achieve. The annual target, when you look at it, we achieved all targets at the end of the year. But when you look at the reason given there for that achievement for 2018-20 financial year, we managed to register in the PATH within 30 days. Smart ID card issued as per the target given, the 100% detected employers, 100 detected transgressors. I'll give figures at the end of the presentation. 100% undocumented foreigners, 100% detected undocumented foreigners, 100% of detected fraudulent marriages and marriage of inconvenience, and 100% of valid invoice paid within 30 days. Honorable Chair, allow me to proceed with my presentation and give you the brief of what has been happening from since 2018-2019 financial year in terms of our projections and the performance. When you look at the 2014-2015 birth registration projected target, we had 33 and we managed to achieve 33,133, we managed to achieve 33,139. So we achieved that target. 2014-15, we achieved that target. 2015-16, that target was not achieved because of number of reasons which will be presented later on. 2016-2017, we achieved that target. 2017-18, it was achieved. 2018-19, it was achieved as well. So the slide which is the next slide, with a target of 810,000, Honorable Chair and members, it gives you now the snapshot of what was the target in that financial year. And the target for that financial year was 53,260, bed recession within 30 days. It has been illustrated in quarters. The first quarter was 99%, the second quarter was 102%, the third quarter was 99%, and the last quarter of the 2018-2019 financial year was 104%. And the overall, as mentioned earlier on, we managed to achieve the target by 101%. And the reason for that, why we overachieved that target, offices had an awareness to pregnant women. We used birth occurrence register to follow up on all the mothers who left the hospital or health facility without their birth being registered. High birth and LRP volume areas were identified and promote the early birth registration. Officials attended health facilities during weekends and public holidays, hence we overachieved. Unconnected offices were visited as presented earlier on. I also provided a snapshot of what happened this financial year, which is 2019-2020 first quarter performance with the same target, which is 810 annual target nationally, with a piece which has been given to Northwest of 49,777. So the target for the first quarter was 12,656, and the performance was 13,558. So we overachieved that target. We think that if we continue that way, at the end of the financial year, the target is in a safe side. Chair, allow me now to give the comparative analysis for the two financial year, which is 2018-2019 financial year and 2019-2020 financial year. It's just the comparison. 2018-2019 financial year, we had a target of about 13,436 and the achievement was 13,375. That one was not achieved in that first quarter. But when you look at the second quarter, the first quarter this year, which is 2019-2020 financial year, you compare with the previous one in terms of the performance, we've got the high numbers, which is 13,558. Chair, allow me now to present the performance of smart ID card issued with a target of 214,286 for 2018-2019 financial year. Quarter one, we overachieved that target by 121%. Quarter two, we overachieved that target by 104%. We missed the target in quarter three, where we're below with 94%, and the last quarter with 96%. And we realized that now we're not meeting our target in quarter three and quarter four, and then we started to visit churches, villages, ward to ward, trying to market the smart ID card. Applications and stuff. Opening of offices, Northwest is one of the province which normally operates on weekends voluntarily, so where we request colleagues to come and operate and assist clients without any payment and stuff. We also invited schools, more special grade 11 and grade 12 learners to come and apply because to them it's critical, more special when they're in those classes, Chair. We intensified the arrangement with SASA, our senior citizens, to come and apply because to them it's free of charge. We arranged with SASA to bring them to our offices. We distributed pamphlet to strategic point, effective utilization of stakeholder forums, although not all stakeholders were effective for that financial year. Marketing smart ID card through local media. So I also provided a snapshot of what is happening this financial year, which is between April and March 2019-2020 financial year, with a target of 213,362 for that financial year. The target was 55,474 for first quarter. We achieved 49,640. Seven. We missed the target by 5,827. Although we opened the offices during the weekends and stuff, but one of the reasons why we failed to achieve, which is the main reason, we had this system instability, where the system has been on and off in some instances. But what we said to ourselves, we said we're going to continue the same strategy which we've been using the previous financial year and see what that strategy will take us to this financial year. Chair, allow me to present now the mobile offices in the Northwest. We've got 11 mobile offices in the Northwest, of which 5 has been refurbished, and 6 remaining are earmarked for disposal because those are old trucks. So what we mean when we talk about refurbishment, we mean that the computers and everything is there. The only thing which is not there is the connectivity. Once those 5 trucks are connected, then we'll start to go to different areas, more especially rural, to take applications for smart ID card. Chair and honorable members, allow me now to present the... I've already presented this one, which is now in quarters. Allow me to present now the annual target for detected employers and those who contravene the Immigration Act. In that target, it has been said in a sense that whatever that you get and you process, it becomes 100%. So for that financial year, which is 2018-2019, first quarter, we had 36 detected employers who contravened Immigration Act, and all of them were charged. Quarter two, we had 32, and the same 32 was charged. And then we, quarter three, we got 68, and 68 was charged. And then 27 in quarter four was charged as well. So hence that what we call performance is sitting at 100%. We never had any interest in that one. So going to the 100% now, transgressors who contravene Immigration Act, we had 495 illegal foreigners who were deported back to their country of origin in first quarter. And then quarter two, we had 598 illegal foreigners who were arrested, detected, taken back to their country of origin. 592 in quarter three, 431 in quarter four of the 2018-2019 financial year. So when it comes to undocumented foreigners for that calendar year, we had in quarter one, 41, which were also arrested and deported back, 50 in quarter two, 55 in quarter three, 24 in quarter four. Those were transferred to Lindela, which were not like directly deported as the previous slide. Quarter one, 261, arrested, transferred to Lindela. Quarter two, 240, arrested, transferred to Lindela. Quarter three, it was 332, arrested, and transferred to Lindela. And quarter four was 182, arrested, transferred to Lindela for further processing. The 80% of fraudulent marriages in the Northwest, when you look at that financial year, which is 2018-2019, we only detected one in quarter two and one in quarter four. And all of them were processed and finalized. Valid invoices settled within 30 days. Those were the payment of invoices within 30 days. When you look at quarter one, 2018-2019 financially, 134 invoices were settled within 30 days. Quarter two, 595 invoices settled within 30 days. 408 invoices in quarter three settled within 30 days. And 482 settled within 30 days in quarter four. So in that target, we are sitting at 100%. We're doing very well. Honorable Chair and the members, allow me now to present the staff profile in the Northwest. When you look at the figures in terms of the levels, we've got level 3 up to level 14. But when you look at the last two slides, you can see that that one of level 14, which is the acting provincial manager, has been vacant for some time. As I said at the beginning, the advert is out with the closing date of the 13th this Friday. We hope that the provincial manager will be appointed. But beside that, the province lost 29 posts since February 2018 due to the shortage of money. The province is having now 443 staff complement. So which is, when you look at the total staff establishment is 444, and the capacity rate is 443, which is a rate of 99.8. Those positions which we lost, which are 29 positions, they are vacant, not funded. So it should be clear in that position. The early retirement chair, the province has a total of 59 officials between the age of 55 to 64 who are planning to retire at any given time. So 17 officials have applied for early retirement, and in terms of the salary levels I mentioned there, from salary level 13 up to salary 3 up until level 3, and the numbers next to each. Chair and honorable members, allow me to present the labor relations cases in the Northwest. We had two cases of fraud and corruption under Volmar Randstad and Zirast. The first one was alleged theft of state revenue, and the second one was alleged of fraudulent bed registration. Both of them are still under investigation. The second part is the improper conduct which happened in Rustenburg. Case referred to labor relations at head office for disciplinary action. The third part is unprotected strike which happened in Rustenburg. Cases referred for labor relations to labor relations for disciplinary action. The sanction given was 3 months suspension without pay under influence of alcohol while on duty. And the official appealed that decision in the office of Mankwe. Chair and honorable members, allow me to present now the summary budget of the Northwest. I will not be in details in this one, but when you look at our budget in terms of the cost of employees, it was 156,243 million, and we spent 159 million, which caused us to overspend by 2%. When you look at the end, the overall performance, we overspent that budget with 2%. Honorable Chair, allow me to present as well the performance, the summary of the budget in the Northwest just for quarter one this financial year. As we speak, you can see the overall percentage. It says now when you look at the spending, we spend 24%, and the ideal was 25%, which it means we underspend by 1%, which we can cover in the second quarter. Honorable Chair, allow me now to present the revenue collected in the Northwest. We collected an amount of 44,649,707 2018-2019 financial year. First quarter this financial year, we only collected 10,078,000. Chair, allow me now to present the fleet management under Northwest. Under Northwest, we've got 87 vehicles. In that 87, we've got 12 new vehicles received for the previous financial year. Number of functional vehicles are 83, not 8. I need to correct that. There are 83. And the number of vehicles involved in an accident, there are 4. So number of mobile offices, as I presented earlier on, there are 11. A number of functional, as we speak, because when we talk functional, it means they can go out and collect application. As I said at the beginning, they need to be connected. Once they are connected is when we can say they are functional. Chair and the honorable members, allow me to present now asset management in the Northwest. We had a total of 10,956 assets, and the total revenue is 79,260,000. Number verified was 10,983, and the value of verified asset was 79,157,000, and number unverified was 54 with a value of 179, which the province is sitting at 99% of unverified asset. Chair, allow me to proceed and present now the stakeholder management in the Northwest. When you look at the provincial level, we've got the Deputy Speaker of the Provincial Legislature, Honorable Mam Mutumi, who's leading us in that area. Under Bujanala, we've got Councillor Tapi. Under Kenneth Kaunda, we've got Councillor Musiu. Under Roots Homosimo Party, we've got Councillor Maukwe. And then under Ngakamudiri Molemo, we've got Councillor C. Faro. Chairperson, allow me to present now the achievement for the 2018-2019 financial year. As I've mentioned earlier on, that we've managed to modernize SWAT Rechens office, which has been running without the smart ID card system. That happened in March 2019. We had a Mueta Pele Excellent Award in Poshet's room on the 7th of this financial year, which on the 7th of June 2019. We successfully hosted the Trans-Kalahari in Rustenburg, where the following countries were involved, which is Botswana, Namibia, and South Africa. The registration of birth over the weekends, as I said at the beginning, that this is a norm now in the Northwest, that officials are motivated in the sense that they go an extra mile to collect applications even during the weekend without any payment. The cordial relationship with the magistrate, which results into successful prosecution when it comes to cases of immigration, more especially those who transgress the Immigration Act. Chair, allow me to present the last two slides, which is made up of challenges and possible solutions. We've realized that there is a need of the second 3-ton truck to transfer detected illegal foreigners to Lindela or back to their country of origin. The second part, the lack of mobile solution to reach our client is a challenge which needs to be fast-tracked as quick as possible. During the ID for Africa, we realized that, for an example, Rwanda managed to issue their smart ID card to 37 million citizens in 52 days using a suitcase as a mobile solution. If we can go to that route, I think we'll do wonders to our citizens. The inadequate bandwidth and poor network in our health facility, we need to upgrade that to an ADSL. Network. No online fingerprint scanners at connected health facilities to verify the mothers, whether they're South Africans or not. So we need to fast track that as well. We'll talk to our head office to ensure that we get enough online verification scanners. Connected health facilities not fully optimized. We require the enhancement of IT, as I mentioned earlier on, the issue of ADSL. System instability in life capture department to secure a long lasting, because the temporal one will not work if in the offline mode is not working. The acquisition of alternative office in general is very problematic in the Northwest. For an example, Rustenburg office is close to a Texas rank, is close to foreign shops and stuff like that. So we feel that our clients are not safe. We feel that if that office can be relocated somewhere where it will accommodate our clients and officials. In the province, there are only 5 government-owned buildings. When you look at the one we are sourcing outside, 17 are leased at a cost of 39 million per annum, and 3,315 is paid monthly. So if we can get our own buildings, then I think we'll be saving a lot in that one. So the other bullet is the reputation of what I've presented under Rustenburg, but specifically now in Taung, Christiana, and in Susseng. We need offices there, but Taung we need not just to modify so that we get that office smart carded. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Northwest. Members, I think, have taken the notes on the issues to raise. I'll request the second, the only province that has a state. Thank you. I'm advised the chief outside just walk and thank you. Are you ready, Free State?
I am quite busy.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity, members, to present the state of affairs in the Free State. As you could see, the table of contents is just some of the issues that I will repeat that my colleague has been mentioning. We are really driven by that vision
of a safe, secure South Africa and the mission of efficient determination and safeguarding of our identity. I think those are very important. What is important for us is the value statement to be patriotic, corrupt-free, and discipline and security conscious. I think those for us drives us in the province not to have problems like the dairy farm. The Free State accounts for 5% of the population. We have 2.7 million people. 51% of that is women, and 48% is males. We have 4 districts and 1 metro. We've launched a stakeholder forum in the province, which works very well to assist with LRBs in rural areas. The province is, we are targeting all rural areas to end the late registration of birth. An estimated 1.8 million of population are within the category 15 years and above, meaning that we have 1.8 million people that we need to help with smart cards. To date, we have 736,000 people that has got smart cards already, meaning that we have a shortage of almost 800,000 that must get smart cards. In line with the channels of services in the province, we are having 2 additional banks in Bloemfontein that will assist us, because Bloemfontein is one of the offices that is always busy, very busy. So to have the 2 banks in the province will help a lot. The staff complement for immigration in the province is 50. Activities that are very prevalent in the province, like the Zamazamas, illegal migrants, especially in Welkom, is a big problem for the province. That means the 50 people is really not good enough to assist us with that. And these activities have multiple ripple effects on the infrastructure, social cohesion, etc. To just go quickly into the management structure of the province, we have 4 districts and 1 metro. You have a provincial manager, you have the coordinator assisting the provincial manager. Then we have, in these 5 districts, we have only 1 DMO, district manager, managing 3 districts. Then we have 1 DMO managing 2 districts. We have Harib, we have Mangaung, we have Mlijoli Putswa, managed by Ms. Henda Erasmus. Then we have Fezile Dabi and Thabo Mofutsanyane, managed by Mr. Makwanyane. And then we have the manager, the director of finance. In the province, the footprint for immigration, as you can see, we have the red dots there, shows the commercial ports into Lesotho, and the yellow ones they shows the smaller ports. Some of those smaller ports are closing at 6, and then from 6 o'clock they are managed by police. But the red dots is the bigger ports. They are 24 hours open, and they are managed by Home Affairs officials. In terms of the footprint of offices in the Free State, as you can see, we have two offices that need, there's a need in 2 districts or local municipalities where there is a need for offices. Tukoloho and Ketuani, those 2 local municipalities don't have offices. But you can see the spread there of offices is well worked out, so that we are in each and every district you will see an office. But you can see at the bottom there we have the red dots are the Tusong centers. The squares there are the large offices, the green, and so on, the smaller offices. But the spread there just shows that in each and every district and in each and every local municipality there's an office that serve the people. It's quite helpful. The slide that I have here is just to show the service delivery model, that we have a channel, the offices that we are using to deliver services, and we have the services that we deliver and the clients. It's just to give that illustration. Now, I just quickly want to go to the performance of the province. In terms of birth registration, is very important, is a very important target for us to make sure that we register all the children within 30 days. It's our plan really to make sure that every child that's born in the province is registered immediately. The last year performance, we had 46,000 that we targeted, and we only could manage to do 45,000, and it was 97%. And the reason for this is that the year before 2018-2019, our target was 42,000. So we just went up to 46,000 thinking we'll be able to make the 46,000. It was quite too high. I think we were too ambitious, and we ended up in 45,000, which is 97%. But if you look at this first quarter this year, we've already achieved more than 900 more registered within the 3 months of this quarter, meaning that this year we will definitely make this target. The hospitals that are connected, we have 32 are connected, but we have 36 hospitals where we collect births. Now, four of them, we collect the birth applications, and then we print them at the office. 32 of them, they are staff members in the hospital sitting there, and they take the applications daily. They actually go and start working there, which makes it easy to have the people at the hospital and register the birth immediately at the hospital. When it comes to the smart card performance for the previous year, only three offices in our province did not achieve. But in overall, we achieved the target, and we overachieved it by about 3% in terms of our performance. So actually, in terms of the smart card, we're doing very well in the province. In the first quarter of this year, we're doing bad. And the reason is we have too much, every time we have downtimes, the systems are not stable. And when the systems are not stable, people are standing in the queue, some people turn away. But we are busy working on that. I think the head office is really helping us. This weekend, the last past weekend, they closed all offices trying to correct this issue, and I'm hopeful that by the next quarter, we'll be achieving this smart card. We have 13 offices in the province that are taking smart card applications, which are connected. And as I said, the real problem for us is when the systems are off. When the systems are stable, we are able to achieve the smart card. Coming to immigration, for 2018-2019, we've arrested 336 employers. Now, these are people who employ people who should not be employed, who are illegal in the country. And then for the first quarter this year, we only arrested 20 of the employers. This culminates to 1,535 people in 2018 who were arrested because we found them being employed by these people. For 2019, this quarter, we've already arrested 289 people who are contributing the Immigration Act. 896 for 2018-2019 and 241 for 2019-2020 already arrested this year. 3,002 illegal immigrants were transferred to Lindela within the 20 days for 2018 and 2019, and 267 for the first quarter this year. And all of these people are meant to be deported out of South Africa. We have three marriages that were fraudulent. Three were resolved. Two is resolved, and one is not yet resolved. These marriages are reported to us that there's somebody who says I'm married and I'm not married. Then we investigate to check and sort the issue. We have a need of immigration officers. As I said, just in Welkom, over the weekend, we arrest a lot of people because of the Zamazama mines. We have a big problem there, so we need about 30 people really to assist in the province in terms of immigration. So there's a quite great need for immigration in the province. We also have a problem when we are out with the police and we get people who don't have documents. Then we have a problem of devices to be able to check quickly on the spot whether this person is really legal in the country or not legal. So these are some of the high-tech devices that we've been asking that maybe we must get these things and they will help us. And I'm happy Mr. Stolz is writing here that they will assist to get us those handhelds things to sort the issue. Coming to the revenue of the province, for last year, the total revenue of all the five districts, we had 37 million revenue for the whole of the year. For this quarter only, is 7 million. But if you work out, you will see that we should actually get about 9 million per quarter. But we know that there are quarters where there's high volumes people coming, so the income becomes more, and some quarters the volumes are very low. In terms of our budget, the expenditure for last year, as you can see, compensation of employees, we overspend by about 5%. If you look at the whole Home Affairs have overspent on this, so it's actually a problem in the whole Home Affairs in terms of compensation of payment of a compensation that we overspend for the previous year. For this year, we're still going well. The linear projection, we are at 25% spending the money properly for the first quarter of the year. If you look at our budget allocated to items, for fleet, we've got 30% of the budget is allocated to fleet. Photocopy contract is about 2%. Accommodations and traveling about 15%, other commodities 11%. That would be furnitures and so office of furnitures is about 3%. These are the expenditure that we just took out the expenditure in terms of the goods and services just to show the breakdown on the expenditure. Coming to the payment of invoices within 30 days. We had for 2018-2019, we had 1,694 invoices to pay at a value of 112.98, and they were paid on an average of 11 days. Instead of 30 days, we worked out just to make sure that within 15 days it must be paid. Therefore, when we look at that, on average, we were paying those within 11 days. And we are trying to say we need to assist the SMMEs to be able to do very well. In the first quarter this year, we've already paid 305 invoices, and all of them were paid within the 30 days mark. And if you look at the breakdown, procurement of goods and services amount to 2.2 million, and 32% of that is for SMMEs, and 68% is for other service providers. Rental of labor saving devices, and so on. The armed response services, physical security. This money went to that most of the time because and that's how the breakdown is in terms of how do we spend money on SMMEs. The total assets of the province per district is 9,152 assets. They value 74 million. This is just the assets. And for the last financial year, we could only not account because there were assets not verified, and there were 52 of them, which is about 0.07% of the total assets that we could not account for. The vehicles are spread like that, as 20% is Thabo Mofutsanyane. The area is a bit vast. More cars are used there, and Mangaung is 13, and then Lijoliputswa are 10, and so on. These are the numbers for the cars as we distribute them in the province. Coming to the staff profile, we to date we have 367 people working for us. From 2018, we were losing people and we've never replaced them. And 2017, 2018, 8 people, 2018, 2019, 9 people, 2019, 2020, 5. That excludes the other 7 that has left recently. So we're actually losing a lot of people and we don't replace them because of financial constraints. The buildings, all buildings except for one, are owned by us. By the department. Most of the buildings we rent them from people outside, and as you can see annually how much we spend, about 15 million just to pay for rental, and these are the offices that we pay rental for. Most of them, if you can see there, is there's a month-to-month arrangement, because Public Works is actually negotiating these contracts for us. And in most cases, Public Works is not able really to conclude the negotiations. That's why we have the month-to-month contracts as for buildings as of now. Then training and development, naturalization, we trained 29 people for last year, case management 48, service delivery 48, induction 22, marriage, the Marriage Act 71 people, the Death Act with 111, advanced development program, that's for internal staff, junior managers, 25 of them are in training as we speak now. Interaction engagement with staff, these are the standard meetings that we have in fortnightly and bi-monthly with all managers, with all office managers. In the offices, on a monthly basis, once a month, there's a meeting for the office in the morning, which also culminate into training sometimes, that instead of the management meeting, they have a training. Labor relations issues, we had one fraud case, it's a birth registration case, and the person has been dismissed, so it's finalized. We had three arbitration awards, arbitrations, two are finalized, one is still outstanding. We had three grievances and two finalized, one is outstanding, and that is because the employee is absent, is on leave. One misconduct case, there was a hearing already, it was in Bloemfontein. These are our labor relations cases that we have in the province. We've cut out most of the labor relations cases that are in the borders, because then they were now transferred to head office. Instead of being cases that were with us, now they are cases that are with the head office. The security issue, we really have we have problems with some of our offices. Two of the offices were broken in every time. We've lost about 7,000 rands just with the break-ins when people break into our offices. However, having realized that, we've then installed CCTVs and the rapid response so that security can come into the offices immediately when there's a problem. Security is really important for us, and every time they break in, they take money. I think the last one they took something like 14,000 rands in Thabantsho now recently before we installed the CCTV. These are people that the vetting, the numbers, with 546 staff members, officials, 117 number of applications completed. They are completed already, applications still to be collected is 88. Number of clearance issued is 122 people who were cleared in the province, and then application registered with SSA for this clearance is 215 today. We have stakeholders with municipalities, with every local municipality. There's a stakeholder forum with a chairperson, which is a councillor or a speaker. And then in every district, we have a district stakeholder forum, which is chaired by the speakers in those districts. And it works very well because they identify problems in community, they let us know, and we are able to know there's, in this community, there's 200 children with no birth certificate. Then we are able to zoom into that community to sort the issues of the children that has got no birth certificate. That is the end of my presentation. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Prestate. We'll request KZN to make a presentation. Welcome, Honorable Pambo and Honorable Muela. I hope you have assisted him with a pen.
Yeah, this is
thank you.
Once again, good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and colleagues. Cyril Mwabe from KwaZulu-Natal, Provincial Manager. We have got the table of contents that would indicate our presentation, where we give the introduction and background, the overview analysis, the mandate, the provincial demarcation and organogram, reporting on predetermined objectives, then human resource management, financial management, counter-corruption, and security services, challenges and achievements. The mandate has already been indicated by my colleagues. I'm not going to talk to the issue of the mandate, but going to the introduction and the background, KwaZulu-Natal is the second largest province in the Republic, accounting for 21% of the South African population. The population is estimated over 10.2 million. That is based on the Stats SA statistics of 2011. This province has got 10 district municipalities and one metro council, being the Echegwini Metro. Then the DHA offices in this province are aligned to these 10 district municipalities together with the metro. The 11 municipalities have been clustered by the province into 5 districts, as we cannot be represented in all districts, municipal districts. So we have clustered them into 5 districts, which is each managed by the manager at the level of a director. The district has those that we normally refer to as the district manager operations. The province has a total number of 146 offices, with the inclusion of mobile offices and hospitals. The staff establishment of the province is totaling to 633. The province has got 8 ports of entries, being the sea, that would be the harbors, then the land, that would be our border gates, then the air, that would be the one airport, that is King Shaka International Airport. These are the areas that promote access to global trade, migration, and tourism. But those ports of entries are not reporting to the provincial manager. They report directly to the head office. The department, the provincial department, we operate in Operation Suguma Sake Stakeholders Forum. KwaZulu-Natal, there is what we call Operation Suguma Sake, which is an initiative that is driven from the Office of the Premier, which has got various committees that seek to try and look into the issues, amongst them being the service delivery improvements in the province. So we do participate in those structures and any other intergovernment cooperation structures in the province. when the next slide is just a map that depicts where these districts are. We can go to the next slide. That would be the provincial management and demarcation. The province is led by myself, Cyril Mngwabe. Then under myself is the director, finance and support, Mr. Singh. Then there's a provincial coordinator as well. Under that, within that provincial coordination, there is also counter-corruption, security and vetting, and security and vetting as well. Now, the districts, the five districts that I've mentioned that have been clustered together from the 11 districts that we have in the province, we have got the Thekwini Metro, which is clustered with the Ugu district. It's led by the DMO, the District Manager Operations, Mrs. Smith, and the offices under that district would be 12 offices, and all with 11 health facilities and 2 mobile offices. The second district, in terms of clustering, King Bejwayo and Ilembe district, there is currently an acting DMO in that district that was due to the position that was vacated by an official who applied and got the position at national office. So it's being caretaked by a person who's acting currently. Under that district, we've got 12 front offices, 6 health facilities, 3 mobile offices. Under Majuba, Tugela and Mzinyati, those are the 3 districts clustered together. They are under the district manager, Mrs. Kuzwayo, who's a DMO. And the offices under her would be 16 front offices with 9 health facilities and 3 mobile offices. Then when we move to Mkungundlovu and Herigwala, there we also have got an acting district manager operations. The vacancy was as a result of the retirement due to age by the incumbent, Mr. Dlamini, who went on pension. Under those two districts, we've got 12 front offices with 11 health facilities and 3 mobiles. Zululand and Umkhanyabu district, it's under the leadership of Mrs. Shandu, and Shandu was the DMO, 20 offices, 11 health facilities, and 6 mobile offices. The provincial front office footprint, we have 146. Footprint is 146 with 122 fully operational. The local large, under local large, current one is 8. Then operational is 7, 1 is non-operational. I will give an explanation in terms of what do we mean is that is non-operational towards the end. But that is the picture that is depicted there. We can go to the next slide. Right, overview of analysis, the executive summary. The province has had 8 targets to achieve, and the province managed to achieve 7 targets. Those targets were birth registration within 30 days, smart ID cards applications received from citizens, then there would be immigration related targets where the detection of employers in contravention of the Immigration Act, also the detection of transgressors in contravention of the Act, direct deportations, and transfers to Lindala, that would be indirect deportation. Then they detected fraudulent marriages and marriages of convenience, and the payment of invoices within 30 days. And as I indicated, that we only managed to achieve 7 out of 8. The only one that was not achieved in that financial year was the payment of invoices within 30 days, where one invoice slipped through. But I will give the reasons what actually happened during that. But the invoice was paid, but not within the 30 days as prescribed. We go to the year-on-year comparison on birth registration. When we look at 2017-2018, the target for birth registration for the province was 128,000, and the performance was 132,174, which was an achievement. We achieved that target. Again, in 2018-2019, the financial year that we are talking about, 139,056, that was the provincial target, and there was an overachievement where the achievement was 141,553. If you look at the quarters, quarter one, during the years 2017-2018, throughout the quarters, quarter one up to four, the province achieved its targets, leading up to the annual target. Then in 2018-2019, the province struggled a bit during quarter one and quarter two of the financial year. However, in the third quarter, the tide was turned, and they will indicate what actually contributed to us being able to achieve, which then led up to quarter three and quarter four being achieved, and that the overall achievement was a positive one. We achieved the target for the province. The annual target now on the PET registration registered within 30 days. The target for the province was 128,756. The achievement, the annual on the annual achievement was 139,056 beds were registered within 30 days, which was achieved during the financial year. The quarters, as we have indicated, we struggled in quarter one and quarter two, but we were able to recover in quarter three and quarter four, and the annual target was then achieved. When we go to the reasons for non-achievement, overachievement, there has been sustained daily performance monitoring on the measures that have been put in place to achieve the target. Also, there was also regular communication that was instituted, that is between the management of the province on the WhatsApp group, there where we talk about these issues and alert each other in terms of where the areas of shortcomings are. And also, there was strengthened stakeholder engagement. That was through the Operation Suguma Saka, as I've indicated. There was also a strategy of focusing on high-volume hospitals. Then there also the resource redirections. The resources that are available had to be redirected to try and focus on high-volume hospitals. But we have got some issues as well where it comes to the way forward and remedial actions. The out of 52 health facilities that were connected, seven continue to have connectivity challenges. Those are the hospitals like Tongat, Ndunjambili, and so forth, which is as a result of the network connectivity in rural areas where that is giving us a little bit of a challenge. However, the department is having plans to resolve these connectivity problems, focusing on the new connections that are going to be done on new hospitals, and also improving on connectivity on the current hospitals that are currently connected. The target on the smart card ID in the financial year 2018-2019, where 2017-2018, the target was 511,946. The performance was 478,000. This target was not achieved during that financial year of 17-18. We explained it when we presented previously. But the target for the financial year that we have that is at hand, which is 2018-19, the target of 383,040, the target was overachieved by 501,234,000. So there was an achievement of the target that is on smart ID cards. The annual target on smart ID card application that are taken from citizens of 16 years of age and above, the annual target was 383,040. The target was achieved, and there has been an overachievement of 501 from the 383 that had to be achieved. Going to the smart cards issued to citizens of, we're talking issued now, not the applications. Citizens 16 years of age and above, We had the annual target of 370, 130. Throughout the quarters, we have been achieving the target, and the target was finally achieved with 511,243 ID smart cards that were issued. Now going to the performance by offices. Chairperson, if you'll allow me, I will only focus on offices where there has been challenges, because we have got, I've indicated them. If you look at number 8 at Tegwini, which is one of the offices called Umgeni office, there's been some challenges there. They have not been achieving. However, in this new financial year, everything seems to be in order because the office is currently achieving. However, during this particular period, there were serious problems where there were issues that were affecting the connectivity there, and most of the projects that were being implemented or tested were tested in that office, and sometimes technical glitches would come into play, and therefore the office would not be able to. Again, the issue is that the people that are supposed to come and apply for smart ID cards, some people there are so poor that they are unable to come and change their IDs from the current green barcoded IDs, and that poses a serious challenge. Yes, the population is there, but the question is, people do not necessarily see the need of going to change from green barcoded to smart ID cards because of the cost implications that is attached to it. Then if you move to the office of Kokstad, the office of Kokstad basically was highly affected by issues of fraud and corruption, and we had to clean that office in terms of people that were charged and dismissed from that office, and we had to recruit new people to come into the office, and that had a serious negative effect in terms of the office achieving the target. However, as I say, in this financial year, there is also very good improvement that is taking place there. Then we go to an office called Umzimkulu. This office is within a district that is a municipality that is also a very poor municipality. The challenge there is that people are not coming forward to apply for IDs. So we see mostly the people that are applying for IDs are the first-time applicants because there is no cost implication for the application of an ID. But when it comes to people having to renew or having to change from green barcode to what's in it, that still remains a challenge. However, there are continuous engagements with the schools as well as the leaders and the councillors in the area to try and see how that situation can be improved. The next one would be Emondlo. Emondlo is a township which is 30 kilometers away from the town called Fryhead. And there the office was opened. It is also battling to get people that are going there to apply for smart cards, as we say that it's based in the township. And what is noticeable is that quite a number of people, almost most people that are staying in that township are working in Fryhead, and they just prefer to utilize our services in Fryhead, which has always been something that they gotten used to it before we opened this office, because it is not long since we have opened this office. It's about 3 years ago that we opened this office there. So, but there are some measures that we are putting in place to try and intervene around those areas and around that issue, and there is also engagement with the stakeholders and community leaders in that area to try and see and understand exactly why this office is not being fully utilized. However, we've got plans as well for how the staff, we're going to utilize the staff from that office to try and assist in another office that is going to be recently opened in Paul Petersburg. Then the office of New Hanover, Chairperson. The office of New Hanover is situated within the farming community. There is the measures that we can put in place, there won't be enough really to be able to address that kind of a situation, because as I've indicated, it's mainly utilized by the farming community of New Hanover. And even if we can do anything that would try and improve to promote the office usage, there is nothing much we can do because it's a limited community that is in that particular area. I'm just being frank here, Chairperson, around that issue. If we move again now to the rest of the offices, those were the offices that were facing challenges in terms of being able to to reach targets. As I've indicated, on the next slide is talking to the reasons for non-achievement, as I've been trying to explaining them moving forward. But there's continuous engagements with stakeholders, and we're trying to look at how we can try and open some of these offices during weekends, so that we try and accommodate possibly people possibly that cannot come and visit our offices during working days. But the youth initiative in the youth of the province is also assisting us in terms of trying to ensure that in these other offices, we target certain offices which are underachieving, and we go on a campaign. Like, for instance, if we have made an arrangement with the municipality in the Tewini Metro, we've got a good working relationship with the council there, where the offices are opened over the weekend. Umgeni is opened over the weekend, in most instances through the volunteering youth of the department that are assisting us. Hence, that is that improvement in terms of them moving towards that, obtaining the target. Now, reporting on the predetermined objectives on immigration services. The first one would be talking to the employers detected in contravention of the Immigration Act. The province has achieved this target. 106 out of 106 employers were detected for the contravention of the Act. The next one talks to the transgressors detected in contravention of the Immigration Act. 2,385 was the achievement of the province, which was 100% achievement that was obtained by the province. 100% of direct deportations concluded within 30 calendar days. As I've indicated, that we have got these land ports of entries, so we also have this. We also do direct deportations in the province. 738 were deported during the financial year through the direct deportation by the province, which was 100%. Transfers to Lindela, those are the indirect deportations where we have got to send people to Lindela for the finalization of their deportation to the countries that are not within our reach for direct deportation. 678 of them were transferred to Lindela within the 20 calendar days, so that was an achievement as well. The 80% of detected fraudulent marriages and marriages of convenience, cases that were finalized, 53 out of 53 were finalized, which is the 80% that is a set target for the province. The general inspections conducted for the period, the annual target was 524. We've managed to do 940 general inspections that were conducted in the province. The achievements under the inspectorate, there is sustained inspections that are taking place in the province. Business operation in conjunction with other law enforcement agencies like SARS, the RTI, and Department of Labor, we are working hand in hand in terms of conducting business operations. Most of the resources in the province have since been shifted to the area of the freight logistics challenges that have been experienced by the province. That is the area of these trucks that were being banned and the road blockages on the roads in KwaZulu-Natal. So we had to redirect some of our resources, particularly the human resource capital that we have, to try and respond to the task team that was established by the, which is, there was an interministerial task team that was interdepartmental task team established by the ministers, the four ministers from within the security clusters, that is trying to look and deal with these issues of violence within the trucking industry that has been taking place in the province. And there is progress that is taking place with regards to the issues that are being attended to around that area. Right. Support services, 100% of invalid invoices settled within 30 days. That is the area where we said in the financial year we missed one invoice where we could not pay it within the period of 30 days. And that was just due to a staff member that was responsible for the verification and the submission for approval being indisposed. and therefore we were unable really to pick up that there was that invoice. However, as soon as it was picked up, it was paid off. So the invoice was paid, except that we just missed the 30 days period on that particular invoice due to that problem that was there. However, the Director of Finance has got measures in place that have been put in place to try and track progress on the payment of invoices. Hence, if you can get the report of the current financial year, KwaZulu-Natal is 100% in terms of the payment of invoices. Reporting on support services, that is the human resource area. The human resource functions of approval of appointment of staff from level 1 to 8 is delegated to the provincial manager. The province has got currently 633 officials appointed. Staff establishment reflects that there is not too much gender gap at the management levels. There is also challenge in attracting people with disability that we seem to be experiencing in the province. I'm sure the slide that is talking to, there's a slide that is included in the presentation that is talking to that area of equity and the gender and also people with disability. If we move to the provincial establishment with on the field and the staff of the field and unfilled post, 633, vacant unfunded, 146, that is inclusive of the three financial years, basically. So in the year 15, 16, and 16, 17, we had 63 vacant funded positions at the time. And 17, 18, and 18, 19 is 83. But all these became unfunded due to the moratorium that has been put in place in terms of the filling of the posts in the province. The staff establishment per district, Chairperson, I'm not sure if I have to go through this, but this is just the picture that indicates per district how many people are in that district. When we move to the next slide that talks to the appointments, there hasn't been any appointments during the financial year. That's why nil return is submitted in terms of the slide. Acting positions currently in the province, Mgungu Ndlovu, which is under Harry Gwala, one SMS, that is the acting position, which I indicated that the DMO in that of that district went into retirement, and there is somebody that is acting DMO in that position. Then when you go to King Gojayo Ilembe district as well, I indicated that there is somebody acting there due to the promotion of the one of the staff to head office. Then in the the total is just only two that are acting currently at that level. Service terminations, Mgungu Ndlovu. You will see under Mgungu Ndlovu there have been two resignations and two dismissals. Under Itebin and Ugu, three retirements with four resignations. Zululand is only one resignation. The other districts, King Gwejwayo and Ilembe, there's a nil return. Provincial Manager's Office, there's a nil return. Then in total, under retirements is three. Under the resignations is seven, and the dismissals of three. Then the other ones that would have been done, the transfers, then it's two, giving us a total of 15 in the province. Service termination reasons. To date, we have recorded seven resignations, three dismissals, and three retirements, and two transfers. Exit interviews are conducted with those employees who are willing to participate in those interviews, and where they are not willing because it's not a compulsory exercise, we do not necessarily have to conduct those interviews. Moving to the next slide, which talks about absenteeism management. Currently, the province has got a total number of 447 pillar cases. Those are the cases where either people are taking prolonged leave as a result of some of sicknesses, and those are investigated by an outside service provider. Then they give us an indication in terms of what would be the status of a person, whether the person would still be fit to continue. It leads to a situation where the determination can be made whether the person should be offered medical boarding by the department. Office managers and supervisors are currently engaging with all officials to check the issue of sick leave abuse, because there's a potential, high potential of sick leave abuse as a, from that process if it's not properly managed. So my managers are taking that as their responsibility to ensure that we monitor that there is no abuse of this sick leave. The province has been 100% compliant with regards to the leave conciliation submissions to head office, and the suspense file is also monitored on a regular basis where there is also 100% compliance. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I should go into the slide that talks to change management and transformation, but the information is there that was submitted for the consumption and the attention of the members. But this is a slide that indicates our equity in terms of racial representation, the gender, and also people with disability. Those are the statistics. Moving to the training and development, these are the trainings that have taken place within the province: time management, IMS stakeholders training, where we have been assisting in training the other colleagues from other departments like the Metro Police and Subs Police, Subs Services. And there's been emotional intelligence training, fraudulent documents, that was done by an outside service provider, Old Mutual. Counter corruption, that's on fraud and corruption strategy. The MSXL modernization, performance management, document analysis, death registration, civil union, disciplinary management and late registration of birth, advanced management development program, stakeholder training and assessment for the funeral undertakers in the province. Health and wellness initiatives. These are the initiatives that and the events that have taken place. There's been information sharing on health and wellness issues, where 11 officials participated on the 25th of April 2019. And also, this was for information sharing on health and wellness issues at the Provincial Disability Forum meetings. Health screening and information sharing that happened within the Shaw Medium office on the 29th of May. The NGO working with the Department of Health assisted in that regard. There's also training that was focusing on OHS and SHE rep meetings that took place. There's also Sports and Wellness Day that is taking place, and there's desk drop information as well that is currently being conducted. Wellness counseling that has been offered. In April 2019, number of officials that have received that kind of a service is 5. And in May 2019, that number of officials were 7. In June, 5. Then July 2019 is 4, with a total of 21. That is the officials that went for counseling, but that were sent for ICAS. IKS is a service that is provided by a service provider, outside service provider, that deals with the issues of this area. It starts off with the counseling and taking the process forward in terms of the needs that are arising from the person's challenges that the person is facing. Employee engagement and labor relations, discipline management, misconduct. There are 12 cases that were in progress, and the cases that have been finalized is 5. Then the grievances, we've got 3 grievances, suspensions, there were 3, dismissals, 2, awaiting appeal, awaiting outcome, 3, reinstatements after arbitration award was 1. We move to the next slide that talks to the participation by the youth in the province. There is a youth formation in the province. It's mainly the people who are still very young and active in the province that are participating in a program that is normally developed by them in terms of trying to assist the province to achieve its target. 45 of the provincial workforce is constituted by the youth. We have got a very active youth forum that was elected in 2017. And it's running for a period of 3 years, and it also participates in the management decision and making process, because each and every district, this youth forum is represented in their district management meetings and also at the provincial level in the provincial management meeting. As part of the initiative by the youth, 82 schools were visited and 18 hospitals visited. 4 symposiums were undertaken as part of encouraging learners to register for their IDs. And also they've also participated in terms of assisting us to achieve the target on birth registration within 30 days. The youth through their forum continues to participate in youth-related activities such as this year's Youth Month with the stakeholders in the province. Staff engagement at the province interacts with the staff through the following structures. The top provincial management meeting, that is the SMS, which would mean that it would be the provincial manager with the directors that we refer to as the district manager operations in the district, which happens on a monthly basis. Then the provincial management meeting, where everybody who is a manager in the province participate in that structure, which is SMS, provincial support, office managers, and everybody. These meetings sit quarterly. And also there will be the district management meetings that are run by the district managers, involving of local office managers. That those meetings are taking place bi-monthly. Staff meetings, that's the last Wednesday of the month, that is by individual office manager within his area of operation. Provincial and district bottom-up and business and operational planning, that happens with every beginning of the financial year, because that is where we start to look at the targets that have been given to us as a province, and also to split the target amongst the districts, and they are up to the office level. So this takes place at on annual basis. Financial management, auditor general report, findings of 2018-2019. The AG conducted his first final round of audits in May 2019. PM's office, the provincial manager's office, where the following were being tested: the supply chain management, payments, transport, and assets and leave. There was non-material finding that was there. There was a non-material finding. We will explain the non-material finding, what it was. It was only one non-material finding. In Gandla, office was also tested for revenue, assets, and leave. There was a clean audit at Gandla. Right. On the auditor general's the non-material audit finding, this was a non-material finding, which was basically talking to the procurement from the local content requirements as given by National Treasury. What had come out is that at the time this was sent to the department by National Treasury, there was shortcoming in terms of communicating it to the provinces. And it was only picked up when the AG picked it up, that we were not complying with that. However, there was no fruitless or wasteful expenditure that was incurred. Every supply chain process was followed, except that maybe it was just this area of the local content. We then engaged with our national office, the office of the CFO. The matter was clarified in terms of how we had to adhere to this particular requirement. It's a matter that has been attended to. Well, this is the picture of the budget, total allocation. In 2018-2019, 240 million, 219-265. Then you go to the expenditure now as at the 31st of March 2019. The province managed to spend the budget up to 103% of the expenditure of the budget in the province. If you look at the expenditure at the 31st of March 2019, the expenditure rate was, as I said, was supposed to be 100%. We overspent by only 3%. Compensation of employees, spending was 104, which has a 4% variance. Goods and services, 91, with a variance of 9%. Other services spending is 139, over expenditure due to household. Leave gratuity, that is the budget of 153 versus the expenditure that was incurred. Because when you look at these issues of leave gratuities, when people resign and retire, those that are retiring basically would have to be paid these leave gratuities, which are not normally necessarily planned for in within the budget, and therefore they would then have an impact in terms of your budget expenditure. Therefore, the overall expenditure of the province was 103 with a 3% variance due to those. The budget status and allocation on goods and services, the expenditure that has been spent is 93% on goods and services. Then the budget that is per office for the financial year 2019 and 2020, what happens is that when we receive the budget as a province, the budget is broken down into districts and as well as offices, where individual office managers and district managers manage their budget. In this financial year, we are now faced with the allocation that must now go to three offices that have just been modernized in the province. Those three offices is an office at Indwetwe that was opened by the minister in the financial year that has gone past, and the office of Greytown, and Paul Petersburg, which is an office that is still has to be formally opened but is currently operational. So we are allocating budget to that office as well. Then the other expenditure goes to the offices that are financed for cleaning services. Due to the moratorium on the filling of the posts, that would be the post of cleaners as well. In order to ensure that the offices are habitable and also clean for the public as well, we had to make sure that we assist some of the offices with these cleaning services. And now that the offices that have since benefited from that would be the prospecting office in Durban, the Sustuwe office, northern part of KwaZulu, Mtubatuba office on that part as well, Escort office and Paul Petersburg. And the amount that we have spent so far is 181,000 that we are spending on these cleaning services that we have put in place for these offices that do not have cleaners that could be employed due to moratorium. On the bank exceptions, if you look at the bank exceptions, we're amounting to 1,000,099. All the exceptions for the province were all cleared by the end of the financial year. So at the end of the financial year, there was zero that had to be cleared. The office was using BAS for capturing receipts that need to ensure all the receipts are captured to avoid exceptions. Then there is also the need to be proactive in terms of identifying the transactions on batch exceptions. If we move at costing of the new vehicles, there is also an expenditure that is going towards the replacement of some of the vehicles, because the next slide will be giving you the age analysis, the state of the roads and roadworthiness of the vehicles in the province. So there is a need of purchasing of 15 Toyota Etios sedans that would be utilized to replace the G-Fleet vehicles that had to be returned to the supplier, and therefore the cost thereof, the projected cost, because the unit price is 171,000 and the projected cost is 2.5 million, and that's where the province is going to be spending money on in this financial year as the need has been identified. Then the next one, the next would then give you the offices that have got vehicles and the state, their state in terms of roadworthiness and unroadworthiness. And I don't think, Chairperson, there's a need for me to go through each and every office, but that's the picture that we have given. Counter-corruption cases. There were 12 cases investigated and finalized in quarter four of the financial year. Eight were bed-related cases that were finalized, and the other ones were two dead but alive cases that had been reported, were to be investigated and finalized, and two passport cases had to be investigated and finalized. Within these passport cases, this is the cases where you would have a situation of a foreigner colluding with a South African citizen for a photo swap that would be done inside the office, and the passport then become and the foreigner receives the passport as a South African with the collusion of South Africans. That is something that we picked up. Then for this current financial year, we have got three bad cases that are being investigated. There are also two related death cases, passport cases as well, and one marriage and the case of permit that was investigated. These are the continuing investigations where there hasn't been any outcomes that have been come out of it. There has been arrests in the department. Two officials were arrested in quarter four. Those were arrested in relation to the late registration of bad cases, fraud cases that happened in the office of Richmond, that is within the Gungundlovu district. Richmond office, where two officials were arrested and they resigned from the department after they had been arrested, and there was a process of also taking disciplinary action against them. So both of them left the department through resignation. There was also one of the arrests that has occurred as well within the area of Watuguza. It's also late registration of birth related. That is Watuguza in Stenga, in KwaZulu-Natal. The official was registering people under late registration without following the necessary processes, which was also fraud related. There's also an official at Umgeni office where the birth was registered without following the necessary procedures. But both the Umgeni official and the official at Stenga as well have resigned from the department as well after being charged. Disciplinary hearings and dismissals. There were 11 disciplinary hearings on both quarter 4 of 2018 and 19 and quarter 1 of 2019 and 2020. Six officials were dismissed in quarter 4 of the previous financial year. One official was suspended for a month in this current financial year. The high-risk areas within the area of fraud and corruption is the birth registration. That is a high-risk area, and also fraudulent foreign birth registration is an area that is problematic. However, through the LRP stringent processes, we are able to try and contain the magnitude of the problem when we have to do these interviews on LRP. Passport registration is also one of the high-risk areas. Syndicates composed of foreign nationals, South Africans, and corrupt officials operate in our offices, the modus operandi being passport photo swap. Official and the South African selling their identity have been arrested and charged with these offenses in the province. So we have been able to detect this kind of fraud that is taking place, and those people have been charged. Security and cash in transit in the province. There is a service provider, IPFS, that is contracted to render security in the province. With that, there's 119 security guards that are deployed, and they are rendering the service in 41 offices. Then the contract is expiring in 2021. That's the contract that is in place. Under cash in transit is normally done for the offices that are collecting cash above from 5,000 and above. We have got Fidelity Company that is rendering such a service in the province to those identified offices that are carrying that kind of cash. And they are actually assisting us to do the banking and also to do the moval of the money from the premises to the banks. Vetting. Officials that have been vetted in the province is 361. Security clearance forms that have been received from the officials were forwarded to SSA for record checks. Six officials have attended the polygraphy test, because that's one of the requirements for people who are going to be getting top secret. If we apply for top secret for those officials, it is compulsory that they must go for this kind of polygraph testing as one of the mechanisms. Top secret, 20 officials. Security clearance that has been denied, there's two, and those two officials, because the question would be what is happening to them, these two officials have since lodged their appeals, because there is a process that you need to follow. Once there is that decision that comes from SSA or indication, you have got the right to appeal, and therefore these two matters are still at an appeal phase. Confidential forms files completed, there's about 37 officials. Achievements and challenges. the achievement is that the province has been able to achieve its targets in the financial year. The province performed well in terms of the latest audits, which is the only one non-material finding which I have to explain to the committee and the chair. Counter corruption, the province has adopted zero tolerance on corruption as indicated by the cases that have been identified and that are being investigated, and with also including the officials that have been dealt with within the ambits of whatever they were supposed, how they were supposed to be dealt with around those issues. Footprint expansion, we are saying that the achievement is that we have managed to have at least about three offices within that financial year that have been modernized offices that have been opened and they are fully functional in within the province, and that would be the office in Chutsuwe, Kokstad and Ndwetwe. Those are the offices that were opened, and but we're looking forward to opening other three offices within the financial within this current financial year. That is Paul Petersburg, Bergville and Richards Bay. And this would then take me to the challenges. The challenges, as indicated there, the population versus budget, that is the first challenge. The alignment of the population size with the budget allocation and the capacity still poses a challenge to the province, which means the allocation of additional funding has to be considered for the province to be able the province to serve, to manage and render the services to that increased population. The late registration of that. Although the number of LRP applications has decreased in the province, there is still a sizable number of applications in Umzinyathi, Kanyabut, and Zululand district municipalities. However, the mitigation is that what needs to be done is the continuous adjudication of late registration of beds within those particular within those particular areas. Also, the ensuring that we engage with the stakeholders to ensure that they promote and assist in terms of sensitizing people to come and register back within 30 days. That is what we are doing. That would be another area that would help us to reduce this area, this late registration of that. The other challenge talks to the infrastructure, that the office infrastructure that is available in the province. We are having a challenge that there are no proper office infrastructure which is aligned to the department specification, which is still a challenge in the province. We still have got the offices which are just like a one-room office where you cannot do anything in that particular office, which is a legacy that we found that has still had to be dealt with. However, proper offices aligned, we are saying proper offices that are aligned to departmental specifications have got to be procured, and also continuous engagement with public works to procure suitable office accommodation is now really encouraged, and we really request that public works must take this issue seriously, because in some areas, one office in particular that is in KwaZulu-Natal is an office called Pine Town Office. That office is situated in an area that is very, very dangerous for the people. There's constant muggings and robberies that are taking place within that particular area. We met with public works, we identified the building that was supposed to, that we were supposed to move into, but the process seems to be dragging too long now, and we don't seem to be getting anywhere. So those kinds of interventions are the interventions that would be required to try and assist in where, particularly those offices where there's high incidence of lack of safety for our clients. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Thank you, members of Home Affairs, for your presentation. We'll take 5 minutes stretch out. We'll come back at exactly 11:15. We'll start with the issues. Honourable members, I hope we've taken note of the issues that have been raised. We'll come back at 11:15.